What's up, freaks? This rip of RHR is brought to you by our good friends at Strike. If you hold Bitcoin, you shouldn't have to sell it to access liquidity. Strike offers Bitcoin-backed loans with zero origination fees, zero early repayment fees, and zero liquidation fees. Your Bitcoin is securely held and returned within a business day after your loan is closed. A financial institution built by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. That's what Strike is building. They're doing it for you. I use it every day. Go download Strike at strike.me. And use code RHR for $500 in fee-free Bitcoin stacking. Again, that's strike.me. Use the code RHR. You're going to get $500 in fee-free Bitcoin stacking. This episode, again, is sponsored by Strike.
This rip was also brought to you by our good friends at Stackwork. If you're looking for a great way to make KYC-free sats, Stackwork has bounties. Go to stackwork.ai, find their bounties page, and contribute to the bounties. You can make Bitcoin KYC free for completing the bounties. If you're a developer looking to scoop up some easy sats, go check out the bounties, contribute to them, and stack some sats. Stackwork.ai.
This rip was brought to you by our official electrolyte sponsor here at RHR, Salt of the Earth. You've been hearing Matt and I talk about it quite a bit. I drink multiple packets of it a day. You got to stay hydrated. That's why my face looks so good. So I'm getting buff. I'm able to get to the gym more because I'm hydrated. Matt, he's looking incredible. I'm sure you've all noticed it. You want to know why? Salt of the Earth, baby. Go to drinksote.com. Use the code RHR. You're going to get 15% off. I'm dead serious. It's made my life way better. My wife, she's right behind me right now laughing, but she's laughing because she knows it's true. She drinks like seven a day. I drink a few a day, maybe seven a day too. Matt, I don't even want to tell you how much he's drinking. It's good. It keeps you hydrated. It keeps you alert. Keeps you ready to go. Drinksote.com. That's DRINKSOTE.com. User code RHR for 15% off any order.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
Happy Friday, everyone.
Good morning.
I'm trying to seem like I'm energized right now. Amtrak, when it's good, it's good. When it's bad, it's bad.
Were there delays?
Yes. I think it was because of the heat.
What, do the trains can't run in the heat or something?
I think so.
Is the smoke really bad?
The smoke was really bad yesterday down in DC and up here. I don't think it was the smoke. It was so hot, like over 100 degrees.
Yeah,
and I think really like the grids were just pulling a ton of electricity. And I imagine like Amtrak gets throttled if there's a spike in demand on the grid because they run all pretty, they're all electrics. So
what time did you get home last night?
I got home at 4 a.m. I got home 8 hours ago.
Dude, that's impressive. The show must go on.
Show must go on. I got 4 hours of sleep, four and a half.
I even gave you an out this week to celebrate 9 years of TFTC.
Hey, I didn't get here by taking breaks. You didn't get here by taking breaks. We didn't get here by taking breaks. We have our 8 year rabbit hole recap anniversary coming up in 2 months.
Yeah, we're at 7.9 years. Did you see on RHR.TV? I added the year calculation because it's hard to think in weeks. 411 weeks. Pretty wild. You know, I mean, I thought my comment was hilarious because you had ended your tweet with, "It's all about consistency." And I was like, okay, well, we should take a break. We'll take a break to celebrate.
Yeah. You would, even though I'm tired, going a little sleep, I'm very energized. A ton of freaks in DC last night. I was at PubKey speaking on a panel. They just launched a series with American Bitcoin about Bitcoin mining, energy policy, and energy grid sort of strategy. And so it was a very well attended event, a ton of freaks, a lot of them coming up to me saying how much they love Rabbit Hole Recap. It's Rabbit Hole Recap for the ride or dies. There was a bunch of people coming up like, I listened to TFTC, I listened to Rabbit Hole Recap, I listened to What Bitcoin Did, all the other podcasts, but Rabbit Hole Recap is the one I make sure I never miss. So the freaks are strong. Bear market is here, but
ride or die.
The ride or dies are riding hard right now. So shout out to all of you. If you were in DC, if I met you last night, if I didn't get to say hi to you, thank you for coming. Shout out to the PubKey guys. American Bitcoin, Matt Pruzak, their CEO. Really great conversation, great guy. I'm very excited to see the fruits of that that series. I actually got dinner with somebody who works at one of the larger utilities companies in the country on Wednesday night, and we need to do a better job of merging what we're doing in Bitcoin and get these utilities companies in the room. We've done a good job over the last decade, but there's still a big gap to be bridged. And I think that's going to be one of my bigger focuses for the next 6 to 12 months is helping to bridge that gap. Recorded with Average Gary. Is he in the chat right now? Are we live? Did we make it on Noster? I know it was...
We're live. We're having some technical difficulties, so I'm streaming out of my personal account.
Yeah, we're in there. Yeah, Average Gary is in the chat, ride or die.
He says yes, and I see Arvin, one of our OpenSats ops legends, zapped 888 sats. That's lucky in China.
Look out, Average Gary, I know, is telling you.
Stream ended. I just see stream ended. Do you see up?
Are we up?
Maybe it's still going.
I'm seeing live chat. Yeah,
it's working.
Average Gary, our episode is going to come out on Monday.
We've got a Noster chat. I'm not sure about a Noster stream.
Yep. No, I see the stream.
I'm not seeing the stream.
We up. NPub17. You have to go to Odell. I see in the YouTube chat, Neil5990, Citadel Wire needs an RHR countdown timer each week. That's actually a good idea. Maybe I'll add that. I do give people at least one day's notice on Noster. So if you go to primal.net/RHR, we usually give you one day's notice. NVK zapped 100,000 sats, buy real Bitcoin, withdraw to your cold card, patience, win.
Solid advice. Very solid advice. Sage advice.
Good advice.
Co-sign that advice. Soap miner. Bitcoin is money. Use it as such. Also, new Tea Tree deodorant in stores. Use code RHR. Go check it out. Going to Shane Gillis tonight in Philadelphia. Hopefully the smoke from Canada doesn't ruin the show. But
I mean, it's inside, right?
No, it's at the link. It's a stadium show.
So it probably will.
The countdown should be tied to the accelerometer on Odell's phone, so it knows when he's stationary at the mic.
I'm never.
That's not a good, because we sit here and talk for like 15 minutes. We talk for like 25 minutes before we hit record today.
And even when I'm live, I'm not stationary. I'm always like pacing around. I like to take my I do standing desk only now. And when I take calls, I usually just do audio calls and I pace around my office. RHR is when I have to be as forward on my camera as possible. And I still tend to pace in place.
You know what I've been getting into?
What?
You know, I actually told you on Wednesday we had a call. Gardening. I'm tending to my garden.
Yeah.
I'm like putting the headphones in, putting my phone in my pocket, grabbing the hose, watering the hydrangeas.
Look at you. Yeah. Was the smoke killing them?
No, it's just really hot. And we just planted a bunch of stuff, planted grass. So we got to make sure it's watered and tended to.
Did you see we just got a 2 British pound zap on YouTube? Is that legal?
I don't know.
Are the Brits allowed? Are the Brits allowed to zap us?
Are you going to go to jail for funding wrong thing? What should we say? I'm kidding.
I hope not. We'll save your £2 just in case we have to use it for the legal defense fund.
Yeah.
Thank you for your support.
Thank you, Luke. All right, let's jump into it. Let's get to the dashboard.
We're so tired. We did it. We made it.
We made it. Bitcoin's pumping. Or I don't know where it was last week. Where was it last week?
Sure.
Let's go 7 days. When we were recording last week, it was right around where we are now. A little bit higher. So we're not pumping. A little mini dump since last week. We're at $63,410. One cuckbucks can get you 1,577 sats. We're at a $1.27 trillion market cap. We're looking at block height 958,435, which means we are 1,181 blocks away from the next difficulty retarget, which is looking like a relatively flat adjustment right now. It's at negative 0.7%. Block's been coming in at 10 minutes and 7 seconds on average. I do believe that means last week there was a difficulty adjustment between last week's episode and this week's, and that was a negative 5% adjustment. So hash rate on the falling. And I imagine it's because of the heat. We have somebody in one of the chats saying it's 102 degrees in Dallas today. And as we know, a lot of the Bitcoin mining industry that's plugging and hashing is in Texas. And so I imagine a lot of those miners are participating in demand response as the heat takes over Texas.
Yeah, I'm seeing in the live chat that we're audio only on Noster. I see video on my side.
I don't see video on Primal or on desktop Zapstream.
Well, Primal's definitely the Primal video client is down right now. That's why we're broadcasting through Zapstream, but it is an open protocol. So I think you can't view it in Primal app right now. Our media backend has just been under constant attack recently. So we have to deal with that. And to Marty's point, our top backend engineer is in the hospital with heat stroke. So he should be fine, but that won't get solved until he gets out of the hospital.
Is that Million?
No. No, the back end, our back end guy.
It is crazy. The smoke. I mean, I'm looking outside right now. It's starting to get a little sicker. But like we have air filters all throughout the house. Like the machines they turn on when the air, like the one in my room's been like humming all morning.
The air filter?
Yeah.
That's like got the auto. Which one do you have?
I'll go check.
The Sharks are really good. The Sharks never change model. I like them. You can get them at Costco. Video is working on YouTube. Video is definitely working on X. Video is probably hit or miss on Nostra right now. We will be on all the podcast apps. I'll post the video to Nostra afterwards so you can view it that way if you want, hashed and signed. You have many different options. The show must go on. What brand air filter do you have?
The Air Doctor.
I don't know that one.
It's a good one. We've got like a massive one that sits downstairs. We got one in the smaller ones, one in our room, one in the boys' room.
Air quality freaks is important.
Yeah. It's a good system. It lets you know too, like if the air.
Yeah, that's what our Sharks do.
If the air, like, quality, like it's got three phases, like red. Like I turned it on last night after being away for 2 days, and it was red and it was humming for like 5 minutes, and then it goes to blue when it's all cleared out.
There you go.
Yeah.
We've got 4,434 transactions in Clark's mempool. If you go over to mempool.space, we'll see that there are 98,475 transactions in their mempool, and mempool's relatively clear right now. If you have a high priority transaction, 2 sats per V byte should get you in the next block. If you're willing to wait, or if you have no priority, 0.2 sats per V byte
should get you in. So yeah, we're cooking. Onto the list, we've got our friends at the Bitcoin Policy Institute. I recorded with Connor Brown from BPI yesterday. Didn't talk about this with him, but I think this is good to see. They, I guess, filed a, what did they file, a suit? They intervened in the Noah Doe case, which is somebody many are suspecting Martin Shkreli.
I think it's Shkreli.
Shkreli.
Pretty sure.
For those who are unaware, somebody basically made a abandoned property claim on a bunch of old Bitcoin addresses that have been dormant for many years, which is actually, if they successfully convinced a court that this was abandoned property and they were able to claim it, if somebody that holds that Bitcoin basically woke up one day and was like, all right, I'm ready to reap the rewards of holding for well over a decade, and they sent the Bitcoin to the exchange, again, if Noah Doe was successful, could freeze the coins and create a headache for the person trying to sell the Bitcoin. Many have stepped in, including BPI. They're considered the intervener defendant and Digital Chamber.
Yeah, so with BPI, we're actually we're participating as an example defendant, right? So BPI has a Bitcoin treasury. It's being held long term. We don't touch it for years on end, and it's a perfect example of an operating nonprofit that funds might appear dormant in this type of situation, but they're clearly not dormant. They're just not being touched.
Yeah. I mean, I read about this in the newsletter last week or a couple of weeks. So there's like recent precedent, like literally within the last couple of weeks. I think somebody who had Bitcoin from 2011 sold last week.
Yeah.
A big chunk. Like there's plenty of precedent of people holding for that long.
Yeah. But on the fiat side, this is also, right? It's like Bitcoin, this hasn't been actually tried in courts or anything, right? In fiat land, this has been the reality for a while now. And a lot of times, I mean, it's from this is different than that. This is like almost like lost and found case, right? It's like you find money on the street. But then also a bunch of states have rules. I think it was California was the most recent where it came up, where like if a bank account is unclaimed, the state takes it but holds on to it for the person. Yeah. And that's obviously that's supposed to come from like a good place, right? They think they're helping, but it's not compatible with Bitcoin. But this is similar but different to that.
Yeah, the thing that worries me about this is that it's being tried in New York, and as we know, New York is a
commie hellhole.
Yeah, commie hellhole is a great way to say it.
As Marty reminded you guys last week, the New Yorkers need to vote harder, and they can get out of it.
Canadians, commie hellhole. Do we need to seize power from Canadian government and force them to bring back controlled burns? This thing's pretty insane.
Did you see the Donnie press conference where he had a woman up there with a mask saying that eviction was violence?
Yes. Yes, I did see that. She was like 4'2". And it was like she's in that press conference. Not only does she have a mask on, she was wearing like a hat and like a wool jacket. And like, it's 102 degrees out, lady. What are you doing?
Yeah. I mean, the mask was not for COVID, right? The mask was so her landlord didn't evict her, I think.
Yeah. Maybe she was trying to come off as like a sickly old woman that
deserves too.
Sympathy, you know?
Definitely did not get more sympathy from me.
Yeah. So yeah, this is, it's a pretty big step by BPI here, stepping in. So shout out to those guys for doing that. Staying on the Bitcoin Policy Institute tip, earlier this week, they released their Q2 2026 quarterly report, which highlighted everything they did within the 3 month period in Q2 between April and the end of June. And they had a pretty banner quarter in terms of influence. The I think the biggest thing that they did and got the most noise and attention was their AI influence ops research that Sam Lyman really led the way on. Connor and I dove deep into that on the episode that we recorded yesterday. Picked up by, it was front page of the New York Times. He had everybody retweeting it. And I think now it's basically a key research piece that people are going to point to and are beginning to put into action in terms of fighting back against the AI data center propaganda. And it's very important to be clear that BPI isn't saying that that there isn't legitimate concerns from citizens in counties that data centers are going into. And they're just highlighting that there is some external influence and a lot of money.
Significant CCP influence on those campaigns to amplify them. I was surprised. Well, first of all, I mean, the BPI boys are doing great work over there. I'm incredibly proud of them. This quarterly report is something they do every quarter, but usually it just goes out to donors. And the decision was made to make it public going forward, which I think is a great idea. So everyone should give it a read. On the AI piece, I was surprised, you know, Trump had his big anti-China primetime presser yesterday. And he didn't talk about that at all, which was interesting. It was all focused on elections.
Did you watch it?
I listened to some of it on audio on Bloomberg Radio.
What's the?
I have not followed up
on it. They're meddling in our elections. I saw some things about emails about people within the FBI trying to hide that information actively.
I have Sirius XM in my car, which I fucking love, because I don't have to like fuck with my phone when I'm in the car. And that comes with a free, a lot of people don't know, a lot of people have Sirius in the car don't realize it comes with a free login for the mobile app on your phone. And Bloomberg Radio through the mobile app on your phone, fucking great. Like you just got one ear. It's like Twitter Spaces 24/7, but not retarded. So I listened through that, but I only listened to like 20 minutes. But yeah, I guess China is meddling with our elections, and the CIA and FBI and stuff covered it up is the claim, is the overarching claim. But I think it went for like an hour.
Not great. I will say, Logan, go find the chart of the election night, 2020 election night results when it like went up like that. That overnight jump is always suspicious to me.
The problem is this shit is like so easily a slippery slope, and the solution is obvious. It's like, okay, you got to make it so that no one can fuck with our elections. And that's never the solution that's proposed, but you know, we shouldn't have closed source voting machines. There should be a paper trail of every vote that's made.
I think maybe you should have to show some ID.
Yeah, sure. American citizen. I agree with that. I mean, there should be some kind of audit trail.
Yeah.
And it should be all paper. And if there is any digital machines, it should be open source, and the machines should print paper receipts. Like these things are like simple improvements that can be made, and they never get made because, I mean, one of the reasons is because the closed source voting machine companies make a shit ton of fucking money.
Yeah. The
which is like, there shouldn't be a profit motive attached to our elections.
No. And I know Trump's not going to do it. He's going to make it very, very much about himself, which you can understand to a degree, but I think the way Spencer Pratt has framed the discussion around the LA mayor election is much better, which is like, hey, I'm not going to like try and like become mayor and like sue these people to like make a point that I should have won. Like, this is about you. We should get to the core of the problem here, about what's actually happening on the ground. And there was, I think his campaign manager did an interview with somebody, I forget who, they said they have some pretty strong evidence, and there will be people investigated in California over the LA mayor election this year. And hopefully Trump has the restraint to not make it all about himself and is able to frame it like, hey, this is about you, the American citizens, and election integrity. But like, yeah, this chart is insane. Like the fact
what was the meme from when the US lost the World Cup or whatever, is like, don't worry, like California is still counting the goals. We'll find out in a couple of weeks who won.
Yeah. On cars though, while we have it up, like I bought my car used. It's 2017 car.
Nice. That's a good year.
We bought it in 2020. Used, it had 17,000 miles on it. I just paid it off like 3 months ago. It's got like 76,000 miles in it, but the Bluetooth doesn't work anymore and it doesn't have Sirius. So I just listen to like FM radio, and it's nice. It's an interesting throwback. Shout out to 88.5 WXPN in Philadelphia. Election integrity, important. Did you see that? I wasn't able to verify this, but like, again, I was on the go Wednesday and yesterday, so I wasn't very much online, but I saw a video of like China's building replicas of DC and doing like war games around them, like two scale replicas of buildings and layouts of DC infrastructure, including like federal government buildings. And they have like,
it replicas. Sounds familiar.
Yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't be surprising,
but it's like,
I'm just surprised the AI piece wasn't brought up at all, because that feels like, obviously, I mean, I have it later in the list, but since we're on the topic already, China just did this thing at the UN, which is like an AI cooperation organization, and it's 29 countries. It's basically like their entire sphere of influence. So it doesn't include Europe. It's like BRICS, but with AI. Russia, Belarus, Serbia, Cuba, Brazil, Venezuela, 10 African and 12 Asian countries as well that Reuters didn't think were valuable enough to list. But 29 in total, led by China. And they had the UN Secretary General there. I think it might have been at a UN meeting. But it clearly feels like that's where, I mean, we obviously have kinetic wars still going on. Iran is still happening. China is obviously a proxy in there as well. But it definitely feels like one of the main battlefronts, if you will, between the US and China, right? We see export controls on US proprietary models. We see export controls on hardware on the US side. And then China is just blazing forward with, like, in the vacuum with the open source stuff. And then obviously the research out of BPI that the CCP is funding a lot of the AI, anti-AI narrative in the US. And so it's I think it's kind of notable that it wasn't brought up at all.
Right. And that's, I mean,
interesting.
Like, just when you thought like the Iran war was, I mean, it heated up again, but like nobody's like really talking about it as much. These were many months ago. Like, are we about to start something hotter with China? Hopefully not. But yeah, I mean, the open source stuff too, like Kimi K6, I haven't tried it yet. Have you tried it?
It's K3, right?
K3. I thought it was K6.
I don't know if it's out yet. It's just because the weights aren't out. I don't know, but like, it's being benchmarked, but these benchmarks are also bullshit. Like, I find it really hard to believe that in practice, this thing is better than Fable or the new GPT models. You know, there's a lot of benchmark maxing going on, but is it competitive? There's zero doubt in my mind that it's at the very least competitive, and it's way cheaper.
Well, it's, I think an important thing to note here, once the weights are released and if it proves to be as good, if not better than Fable 5, ChatGPT 5.6.
It is out. K3 is out, by the way.
K3, it is out. So I've seen people saying they're using it and it is better according to them on some metrics. And I think it's important to note there was a semi-analysis, which was run by this guy, Dylan Patel. And they're basically like the go-to research research company for the AI build out. They wrote a report earlier this year that basically said the US has nothing to worry about in terms of China blowing past us on the model performance anytime soon, because there's such a chip shortage there that they're not gonna be able to train it. And I think Kimi K3, it seems like it's proving to be as good as advertised. And if it certainly does, that throws a wrench in there. And then you have to ask two questions, like, are they figuring out ways to be more efficient with these GPUs, particularly on the training side of the models, or do they have access to GPUs? And if so, how are they getting access to them? And what is the blowback that can be opened up from there, particularly if you consider last night's press conference from Trump? It seems like the scrutiny on what China's doing is going to increase significantly from here on out. So like, do we get some sort of increased activity in terms of export bans and export controls when it comes to the computer chips? And then I discussed this with Connor yesterday, but I think it's important to note too that the last thing we need here in the United States is Dario to get his way or Sam to get his way in terms of cucking the proliferation of open weight models here in the United States. And it was good to see Thinking Machines come out with Inkly this week. It seems like pretty impressive. Again, I haven't tested it, been traveling, but the one thing we have to worry about is like, if the Chinese models,
what is that? Is that a model?
Inkly? Yeah, it's there. This is the first model from Thinking Machines.
Okay. And she's ex OpenAI, right?
Yes.
She's one of the ones that was involved in the Sam coup.
Yeah. She was the one who was, like, yeah, I'm sure you've seen like the leaked texts of like Sam. Like they tried to Microsoft. She, like, Microsoft seduced, wanted to kick him out.
She seduced Brockman too.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they tried to coup, and I don't. That was such a weird saga because it seems
like a 3-day coup.
And it seemed like the executives leading the coup had like very good sort of reasons for doing it and had a good case to pull off a coup.
Immediately reversed.
It was very weird how that all happened.
Yeah. We'll find out in a book in like 20 years, yeah, what actually went down.
The thing to
like
worry about.
A bunch
about
of the texts were in, it was because of Elon's lawsuit, right? A bunch of the texts came out.
Yes. That's why the texts came out. But like Microsoft, I think, was really driving it. Satya was like, what the hell is going on here? Then you had like Brockman and Marotti and I think a couple others being like, this guy's fucking crazy, we gotta get him out. Then he pulled some sociopathic jujitsu and had them all leave and he stayed. But the thing to worry about with the open weight models, they continue to progress and they continue to be 90% cheaper than the closed source frontier models here in the US. The soft power that could be sort of expressed via that dominance of the Chinese open weight models is very subtle, but could be incredibly impactful in terms of China getting control over things and shifting power towards their economy. And the one example that Connor gave on the show is like, imagine you're using one of the Chinese open source models and you're trying to build something like using computer chips, and it's just trained very well on Huawei chips and just like a little bit worse on NVIDIA chips or Samsung chips. And so like, you can't actually produce a legitimate product using those chips. You can only do it with Huawei chips. And so it just like forces everybody towards their backdoored infrastructure.
Yeah, and even though this stuff is open source, like the cheapest way to hit it is to like hit Kimi servers directly, for instance, or DeepSeek servers directly. And I don't know. I mean, I think if I was going to like probability it in 5 years, where is the majority of AI usage? What models are they hitting? I mean, it's probably a coin flip.
Yeah. Well, the big problem we have here in the United States is that the amount of capital that's been directed towards the closed source models is enormous, immense, talking hundreds of billions, probably approaching $1 trillion collectively across the two companies in Anthropic and OpenAI, and even SpaceX to a certain extent. And so there's going to, like, if we want to win this, I think the Trump administration and people in the industry, and particularly in the investment class, are like, there's going to be a point where the investors are going to want to bail out because they put so much money into it. And
it's already too big to fail.
But that's like the existential, like, crossroads we're going to be at. It's like, are you really going to bail out these investors, or are you? And the bailout will be two ways, like literally propping it up money, but the sort of slight bailout is giving them the regulatory moats they want and cucking open weight models in the US. Or are you going to let just like cut all the red tape, let people go crazy and try to compete with China? So it's going to be interesting to watch that play out.
Brave new world.
Brave new world. But like, you look at what you can build with this stuff, and that's what's next on the list. The Bitcoin Battlefield live 3D visual. Turning Bitcoin.
Literally boiling oceans. Boiling
they oceans, had this on, by the way. They had this on the big screen at PubKey all day yesterday. I was working from the PubKey DC bar, and it's just like, I was just like finding myself like every 10 minutes I'd walk into like the main area and just like watch this for like 10 minutes.
It's great.
It's so good.
Yeah, so some freak out there created a website. He vibe coded it, clearly. It's the 1 minute Bitcoin chart, as if the red candles and the green candles are army soldiers fighting each other. So it's just a constant battle is going on over the Bitcoin price.
Logan, in the bottom left, you can toggle those, because like, it's not only soldiers, you can like
bring. Yeah, occasionally there's like airplanes come in, right?
Yeah.
Was that helicopter just flew in and dropped a bomb?
Yeah.
What's the middle one? What's the middle toggle? No, the bar underneath the one you just changed. What does that say?
That's music. I have it muted.
Yeah, do not put the music on.
Yeah, this is fun.
Yeah,
we're becoming projectionists. Some freak out there was like, let's turn the order book into a battlefield. Fable 5 is like, okay, here.
It is addicting.
It is. Big news from 1031 portfolio company AnchorWatch. They launched multi-institution custody with CoinCorner, BitGo, and Lloyds Insurance this week. This has been in the works for a while, and this is a big sort of checkpoint milestone for the AnchorWatch team. Shout out to Rob, Becca, Joe Rogers, everybody else at AnchorWatch for getting this across the line. It's a big step for them, and something that's in high demand. People want the benefits of multi-sig, but a lot of people want the benefits of multi-sig but don't want to hold any keys themselves. And so multi-institution custody is something we've been talking about for a while. AnchorWatch has been working on this for a while. They're very detail oriented and wanted to make sure they got it right, and so they finally got it to the spot that they felt comfortable launching, and it came out this week.
Yeah, so I mean, AnchorWatch will always give users the option of holding their own keys. I think that's incredibly important, but there are a bunch of users that don't want that responsibility. So this is a middle ground from a typical custodial relationship. So the user holds no keys in the situation, but you have three different institutions holding keys, and so those institutions would have to collude to rug pull effectively.
Yeah. It's a beautiful thing to see. Another beautiful thing to see. Greg Gee zapped us 21,000 sats. While supplies last, everyone that uses RHR will get 10% off their order and a sampler pack of Farmer Bill's premium beef sticks.
Awesome.
Another Bitcoin-focused company that accepts Bitcoin through Strike and rewards Bitcoin through Oshi Rewards. Keep up the great work, M&M. Do people call us M&M?
I guess they do now.
Eminem. That was a beautiful. That was a beautiful zap there. You get the RHR code, and you get Farmer Bill's premium beef sticks, and they're using two 1031 portfolio companies. They're accepting Bitcoin with Strike, and they get rewards via OSHI. It's a beautiful thing to see. Yeah,
love it. It's all coming together. I do. I recently tried, on that note, Backend Bullo. Were they on your radar? The meat purveyors out of Santa Fe?
No. Becca and Bullo?
Beck and Bullo, B-E-C-K and B-U-L-O-W. Fantastic meat. And they accept Bitcoin through Strike. Jack actually, my understanding is Mallers stumbled on the site just looking for like a good meat provider. And didn't know they used Strike until he went to the checkout, which is always kind of cool to see.
Yeah.
But they're active on Noster. They seem like true ride or dies, and the meat was fantastic.
I'm sure they're freaks too. Try code RHR, you might get 10% off. You know.
Go for it. And if it doesn't work, message support. Ask them why it didn't work.
Next up on the list, we've got a big report from Zeus and Axiom. Looking at Lightning Economics, the bridge between Bitcoin's two identities. So Chris Ritter, who's the head of BD at Zeus, wrote this. I'm not going to lie. I did not have time to dive into it, but it seems pretty in-depth. Did you read it?
No. I just like Zeus, and Chris sent it to me with the pretext that he thinks we should monetize some of the OpenSats operation funds through our Lightning node to collect routing fees. And then he sent me this report, which I have not had time to read, but I just assume is good based on who it came from. So
read the whole thing right now, really fast.
I added it to the list.
I mean, if you go to page 7, I think that chart at the top tells a pretty good story. If you look at the Olympus Quarterly ROIC, Return on Invested Capital Decomposition, if you go to the net ROIC in the trailing 12 months, 4.65%. So you're getting treasury-like yields by locking Bitcoin liquidity up in the Lightning Network, or at least Olympus is getting treasury-like yields on that. So if you want the ability to get a treasury like yield without the counterparty risk of the federal government, Lightning Network is providing that if you know how to operate your channels effectively.
Supposedly he also goes through how to reduce hot wallet risk using VLS.
Ooh, VLS. We haven't talked about that in a while.
Because that was my response to him. At OpenSats, we do operate a Lightning node, but we mostly just use it. We only use it to receive donations. We're not using it to monetize routing. But obviously, we have concerns over hot wallet risk, but also we have concerns over just single key risk, right? Mm-hmm. Most of our funds are held in multi-sig, so no single board member could either get hit by a bus and fuck up something and lose it, or intentionally steal the money.
What were they saying about, what's the latest on VLS? Are people implementing it at scale? So VLS,
yeah, supposedly it's in the Zeus report.
So for those who aren't aware what VLS is, it's what, validating Lightning Signer, which allows you to separate the node from the private keys. And so you basically keep the private keys in a not offline, but in a hardware device that you can secure physically at your home or in a dedicated environment, and the node lives in the cloud, and so you get persistent uptime there.
So I don't know if this is offensive or not, but if it is offensive, it weighs it out because we gave them a shout out regardless of reading it. But I plopped it into my clanker. And so specifically, according to the clanker, what this report says is you can use VLS in a way that the Bitcoin owner can retain control over the funds, but you basically delegate Zeus as the professional operator of the routing node so they can manage the routing node for you, collect the fees. Because it is a skill and mental burden to run those things. But you don't actually give them control over the funds.
Like, will the clankers be able to do that? That's my question. Like, I have to imagine.
Well, my clanker read the report, so now he's an expert.
Yeah. I have to imagine there's got to be some dedicated MCP that does Lightning Channel liquidity management to optimize for fee revenue. Not there yet, but imagine it's coming.
Anyway, we linked the report. Maybe you'll read it before us.
All right, last story before the financial freedom report story of the week. It actually pertains to financial freedom, so it's a good setup for it, which is you have it titled here in our notes, Left the Banks Right, Right the Banks Left. And this is a reference to Stephen Miller, who gave
a... Did you watch this?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts? Play the clip.
You want to freeze the bank accounts of...
President Trump issued a directive. In our parlance, it's called a National Security Presidential Memorandum, or NSPM, NSPM 7 to be exact, that directs for the first time in American history all of our law enforcement and intelligence agencies to work together to disrupt, identify, defund, debank, arrest, and prosecute these political terrorists that are operating in our country. It's very important to understand that left-wing political terrorism seeks as its ultimate end the overthrow of our system and form of government. And we've seen this has taken place many times in many places throughout the years, and Secretary Rubio has provided you many examples. Left-wing terrorism always ends in bloodshed, misery, and suffering. It only can travel in one direction. There's no point at which the left-wing terrorist is satisfied with his gains and ceases progressing.
What are your thoughts?
Look, and before I give you my thoughts, I put a short clip in there. It's in the tweet that's quoted. Pull that up. Because I think the juxtaposition of the two things, because it is like I'll give my thoughts after it, but.
This is actually something that we committed to at convention, having our endorsed candidates supporting the program. It's a requirement now. And so that'll be incorporated into our endorsement process.
It sounds so radical, like abolish the Senate, abolish the Supreme Court, like et cetera, but it's not like that's, those are the things that need to happen.
So whenever people are like, oh my God, they want to get rid of the president. I was like, well, I don't know what we would call it in the future. We could call it the head honcho of whatever, you know, like it's like we might not have a president. This is actually...
Yeah. And so this is in reaction, I mean, not to this video. Stephen Miller's press conference is a reaction, not specifically to that video, but like to the rise of communist and socialist tendencies in the U.S., particularly via the Democratic Socialists of America Party, which Mondani is a part of, and which a number of representatives won primaries, particularly in New York and in a couple other states earlier this month or late last month. And it is another important detail, like the DSA is using the Democratic primary process to basically Trojan horse their way into these elections, these primaries, and to win. So they're like using...
Instead of having their own party.
Yeah, instead of having their own party. And so they're... And I think it is clear that they are explicitly... explicitly trying to like drive a revolution of the federal government. They want to get rid of the Constitution and all that and bring a socialist hellhole to the United States. I'm a fan of McCarthyism. I think communism is bad. I think we should do everything we can to like eradicate the communist amongst us, particularly if they're getting into the political system. And I do think there is legal precedent. There is the sort of the Communist Insurrection Act of, I forget what, 1950 something, that is a law, and it is legal to actively call for communism and try to overthrow the government in the United States. However, I mean, I think you titled this perfectly, like left to banks, right to banks, left. Like that's where like the slippery slope is. It's like, how do you do this in a way that like, I don't think we should be freezing bank accounts. I think we should just be actively identifying and dragging these people into court. Like,
look, I think what's notable here is like violent commies should be arrested and, you know, face our judicial system. That should be the case. But that's not what he explicitly said, debank.
Yeah.
Like if you're arrested and you're in jail, you don't have access to your bank account. You don't have to debank someone if they go through the judicial process.
Yeah.
And this is particularly notable because the Trump family themselves got debanked by the left. Yeah. They made it a major political point of this second presidency of his, right? Because the debanking happened in between the last presidency, the first Trump presidency, and this one. And we are a few years off of, you know, the left's anger over insurrection or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a super slippery slope. You can fill a bunch of people into political terrorism that aren't actually terrorists, and that has been the case on both sides. So I think it's particularly notable the word debanking that he used. It didn't have to be there. He had a speechwriter. They clearly put it there. They're going to probably be proactive about debanking people. We saw it in Canada happening on the Freedom Truckers protests. What do? They went straight for the bank accounts. There's a trend here. And it seems to be accelerating across the board.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's like, again, just to really drill into the point, like I think there's so much lower hanging fruit to go after, the fact that they're using the Democratic Party sort of platform to Trojan horse their way in when they're
that's not necessarily illegal, right? I mean,
Trump, I think it is. They're explicitly saying like we have no intent of like we're just, I think they've explicitly said like we're hacking the Democratic Party platform to get in. We're not going to work with them when we get in, but we can pretend to be Democrats. And
yeah, but I mean, that's what Trump did. Very effectively. Do you not remember first Trump term? They like threw every establishment Republican at him to try and stop him in the primary. He just fucking tore through all of them. If Trump ran as like the MAGA party, he would have been fucked. Like that's just I think the bigger problem there is there's no route for, there's zero route for a third party in America. Yeah. It's like you're completely stuck in those two. And then if you don't, and like Bernie kind of tried to do a soft thing or whatever, and then they just had Hillary steal the election from him in the primaries. So like if you want to co-opt it, you kind of have to go to war with the party.
Yeah.
If the far right or the far left wants to co-opt it, you have to, I think you have to like kind of pull no punches, because otherwise they'll just fuck you in the primaries.
Okay, maybe the party angle isn't the low hanging fruit, but there is
violent communism. Criminal action is illegal, and we have processes in place to go after people for that.
Yeah. And I wonder how much outside influence, like Chinese funding, is going into the DSA. It's a big problem, and it's only going to get worse. And we do have like the Communist Insurrection Act, like we should utilize that to the fullest extent to get these commies out of here. They're going to destroy the country if they get any more power. Communism is not good. It's never
worked. I mean, look what happened to Massey on the Republican side in the primary.
All right.
Israeli foreign influence in a local representative election.
Yeah. APAC, Mary Madison came in. Rest in peace. Maybe it's poor taste. It definitely is poor taste, but I can't help it. I was doing it before he died. Lindsey Graham passed away, and then they sort of just moved on from that very quickly. I don't think there's any conspiracy. I actually talked to Jonathan, who's a doctor, and Jonathan Kirkwood is a partner of ours at 1031. He's also a doctor. And like, he was old. He was traveling a bunch. Jonathan's convinced he had legitimate like pulmonary.
You needed to talk to a doctor to know that old people die.
Yeah. He definitely had a heart attack from traveling too much. But it is like the timing is like he was in the Ukrainian drone factory that got bombed like the day after he was there.
Yeah. I mean, that was horrible OPSEC.
Yeah.
He like did a, I mean, presumably the Ukrainians supported it, right? But he did like a presser in this drone factory, and then the Russians used the video to target where the drone factory was and blow it up.
Yeah. You know, photo op in a war zone. Not always a great idea.
I saw Mav 21 zapped 21,000 sats. Thank you, sir. Ride or die freak.
Huh. All right. We've got the Human Rights Foundation Financial Freedom Report story of the week coming from Burma, where more than 100 bank accounts have been frozen. The military junta in Burma froze the bank accounts of more than 100 companies, including firms involved in car imports, fuel, agriculture, gemstones, and import-export companies. Business owners and individuals were also summoned for questioning to Naypyidaw, the capital, where the military junta is headquartered. For more stories like this and others, make sure you go to financialfreedomreport.org, sign up for the newsletter. We haven't talked about the Burmese military junta in quite some years. Was that the one where like it was during COVID and the woman was doing like exercising?
I think so, yeah. And it looked like a green screen, but it wasn't. It was just the armored personnel carriers just driving through in the background, yeah. And tanks and shit.
And is Burma, was it Burma or Malaysia where they're using the ghost guns to?
Burma is Malaysia, right? It's just
a state within Malaysia.
No, it's just who you ask and how they pronounce it. Oh no, Burma's Myanmar.
Myanmar.
My bad. Messed up my M's.
It'll happen. It'll happen. Forgiven.
But some people call it Myanmar, some people call it Burma, depending on their politics.
Yeah.
I don't quite... I think Burma is what the name the British gave it during colonial times.
So
there's like a conflicted history there.
So the HRF is...
I don't know. HRF, I don't know what...
The HRF is validating colonization talk here.
Let me ask Sam Altman's woke AI, what is the correct political term, Burma or Myanmar? I'm sure this is we probably have a couple freaks that live there that this is just, they have very strong opinions on this, and I don't pretend to. I'm not trying to step on your toes on that. Both are correct. Myanmar is the country's official name and the term used by the United Nations and most governments. It was adopted by the military government in 1989. Burma remains common among people and organizations that reject the military regime's legitimacy. The United States government has traditionally favored Burma, although usage varies by agency and context. Many democracy advocates use Myanmar, too, so word choice does not reliably indicate political allegiance. Myanmar and Burma ultimately derive from formal colloquial versions of the same name associated with the Barmar ethnic majority. Neither is inherently more inclusive of minority peoples. The one thing is for sure, it's not Malaysia.
Okay. So. I'm glad we settled that.
But yeah, the debanking will continue until self-custody improves.
Yes, it will.
Across the board.
Did I get tagged in the tweet?
It looks like X changed how they do it. And now it's the text on the stream is like integral in the stream rather than tagging.
There we go. Sent the retweet. All right. Do we have boost? We do have boost from last week. Let me pull this up. Rabbit hole recap 417. Wow, we got a lot of boosts to read. The grind continues. Our girl, Sill, Pringle, Mac, 33,333 sats, threes across the board, palindrome, boost, stay humble, keep pushing towards hyper Bitcoinization, or shut the fuck up, especially if you're a NIM and not prepared to show your face for what you believe in. Raise strong families, which is harder than you think. If you're not consistent or present in stack sats, we will win. Love, Sil and Tony.
Proud of you, Sil. You're crushing it.
Yes, you are. Johnny Stimulus boosted us 21,000 sats with no message. Thank you, Johnny Stimulus. What's it looking like on NASA or anything?
The only one we got over 21,000 sats was Florida Justin, right at our freak, with 28,000 sats. He did handshake emoji, salute emoji, and then honorable mention to UTXO, the webmaster, who zapped 5,000 sats. Check out Wisp if you haven't. It's a fantastic Noster app, cross-platform, available on both Android and iOS.
WISP.
He didn't put that shill in there. I just gave him a free shill. He had no commentary. He just sent free to money.
It's a good free shill. All right, on to the software updates section of the podcast. We're going to do it old school style. I'm going to blow through these. You stop me when there's something really important to talk about. Code Wallet version 1.3.0 has been released with Passkey Cloud Backup, Progressive Scanner, and onboarding improvements. Join Market NG version 0.34.0 has been released with fee quantization defaults, automatic coin join history import, and security hardening. OpenClaw version 2026.7.1 has been released with a major control UI overhaul, onboarding, and expanded model support. Nunchuck Android version 2.7.1 has been released with self-custodial USDT on Liquid and Trezor Bluetooth support. That's a pretty big upgrade for them.
It's interesting. I mean, I'm not a Tether user, but it's interesting because Tether on Liquid is barely used, and it is by far the most private way to use Tether.
Yeah, because they use confidential transactions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, you know, Tether, I forget, we talked about the website that listed Tether freezes when they freeze funds, and it's in the billions of dollars. Like, they freeze funds all the fucking time. I'm pretty sure they can't freeze Tether on Liquid because they don't know who owns which. Yeah. Like, they can shut down the whole system. They can say, like, all Tether on Liquid is unspendable now. But I don't think that they can individually pick and choose. Like, they, like with Solana or Tron or ETH, people usually have one account. It's like a fixed reused address that they're constantly using. And it's very transparent. You can see every transaction that's ever been done. You can see the current value. And so, like, you just press that address and you press freeze. Because Liquid is both a UTXO model and because it has confidential transactions, so you can't see amount or asset type. So you don't know. You not only do not know the amount, you don't know if a Liquid transaction is a tiny, you know, 200 sat swap that's going through Bull Bitcoin wallet, or if it's, you know, $200,000 worth of Tether. You can't tell the difference.
How is this, like, we are so bad at marketing and positioning on the Bitcoin side. Like, it's so far superior to...
And it's insane.
...that exists. It's like, we're so bad at marketing.
It's insane.
Did you see Ethereum's new roadmap?
But it's also like a chicken and egg thing. Like, Tethered on Liquid is obviously strictly less useful because it doesn't have the whole ecosystem built around it.
You know, the bridging and all that.
Yeah. Like, if you want to, like, use Tether on Robinhood chain,
yeah,
it's a pain in the ass to get from Liquid. Anyway, continue. What were you saying?
Did you see Ethereum's new roadmap?
No.
They want to move to a UTXO model. They're, like, finally admitting
after that, all this?
They're finally admitting that...
I did not. I got to read that. Oh, well, I got to have my clanker read it.
What's it called? Why am I forgetting the... What do they use?
An account model.
Account model. Yeah. They're
it's basically just one fixed address.
They're finally making the account models completely retarded. They're like, oh...
Maybe what was the reasoning?
Privacy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
As you see, Chamath implicitly shilling Zcash and coming at Bitcoin's fungibility this week.
Yeah. I only saw it because you quote tweeted him. You gave him, you platformed him, bro. You gave him exposure.
Slop.
You, the guy who has 3 million followers, but you were the one who did it. I wouldn't have seen it otherwise. It was definitely slop. Duh. It was like Clanker write a post about how privacy is important in crypto.
And throw in ZK zero knowledge proof.
Well, I mean, if you ask a Clanker why privacy is important in crypto, it'll shill Zcash too.
Yeah.
Like that, you don't probably even have to do explicit. I'm telling you, I think part of the reason, the main reason the influencers are shilling Zcash is to pump their bags. But the secondary reason is, privacy is really, really, they don't use Bitcoin. They're not using Bitcoin. They're not using Lightning or anything. They're used to using Solana and ETH and Tron and shit. And privacy is really, really fucking bad over there.
Yeah.
And so when they say like the sky is burning, like the sky is burning, like they are actually valid in that in that diagnosis of what's going on over in Shitcoin land.
Yeah. It's funny. Like we've been saying for years, account models retarded, Zcash, Shitcoin. They're going to lean into Zcash and the privacy coin very hard. And they're going to say that Bitcoin doesn't have privacy, but if you listen to the episode of Francis Paulette from last week, like the cypherpunk technology in Bitcoin's never been better. Like we're getting closer, like the ability to attain privacy on the Bitcoin stack's never been easier.
And the trade-off model was proven because no one knows if there's inflation in Zcash now.
Yeah.
Like it literally just happened.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even Fable, right? It was like Opus 4.8.
Yeah, 4.6, I think. I don't even think it was 4.8. Yeah.
They were like, find the mistakes. And they're like, oh, yeah, there's infinite inflation bug right here.
And it's been there for 5 years. So
hopefully since you started the pool.
Hopefully nobody found this.
It was great. The market responded in an educated way.
Yeah.
It just absolutely got wrecked.
Yeah. Speaking of privacy on Bitcoin, Ashigoro version 1.1.1 has been released. So if you're looking to attain privacy on Bitcoin at the protocol level, at the on-chain level, Ashigoro is a great way to do that. Go check that out. This is insane. I feel like this is illegal.
It is illegal. He got arrested. Oh, no, not this one. This one's not illegal. This one should be illegal.
Yeah, True Social to sell faster access to Trump's market moving post via Truth API. What?
Yeah, and he owns Truth Social too, right? Yeah. It's like literally if you pay when I tweet out something that moves the market, you can front run the trade. Hell of a monetization strategy.
People are going to pay it.
This dude he's so good at fucking grifting. I don't even think we covered it, but like he made more money on the Trump meme coin than Coinbase made the whole year.
Yeah.
Like profit wise, he's the single most profitable company in crypto.
Yeah. Trump brand. It's strong. You know, there's a,
it's insane. But yeah, you want to know how to bootstrap a novel, new social network is you have the president exclusively post there. You make sure he posts market moving things, and then you charge for the privilege of reading it a couple milliseconds early.
Yeah, can you imagine like the product spitballing meetings at True Social? Like, hey, we're not making any money. We're bleeding money. We have the president here. He's never going to go back to X.
Things they did. It's really hard to use if you don't log in, right? So that was the first step. They were like, okay, let's force everyone to have an account.
No.
I assume they're not going to put like that much of a delay on it, but it doesn't, for it to be valuable, if you get it, even a half a minute before the rest of the market gets it, it could be worth something.
Yeah.
While we're on Trump, I have it in the list properly ordered. Did you see this? The guy who's in charge of Trump's teleprompter was trading on prediction markets.
Did not see this. What happened?
Look, he made more than $100,000 because he knew what the speech was going to be ahead of time because he was in charge of the teleprompter. once again, to repeat, trading on prediction markets benefits insiders. Watching prediction markets benefit outsiders because by design, it's supposed to incentivize trading insider information. So this is prediction markets working as designed. You get a low-level guy that has inside information and acts on it, and then the rest of the world knows about it ahead of time. In this case, I mean, he traded on Kalshi, which is KYC, so it was just like looked up his ID.
How dumb are people?
And that is a wild story.
What was the market? Was it like a mention of Iran or something like that? Gabriel Perez, a technical assistant to the president who has been operating Trump's teleprompter since 2016, is in talks with federal regulators to settle allegations. He uses inside knowledge of the president's speeches to win more than $100,000. So it was multiple speeches. Suspicious activity on its mentions market, where users can bet on whether specific words, phrases, or topics.
Yeah, I mean, that's a stupid market too.
Yeah.
Like, no, don't, that just is, yeah. Because also Trump himself can, yeah, Brian Armstrong, remember when he listed, he was at the end of his board meeting?
That was such a dumb move.
And just listed all the words that were on there. Any market that can be controlled by a single individual can move I'm a free market guy, so I don't think like they should not exist. I'm like pro technology. That means you can't stop it from existing, but like, don't trade on them. Completely rigged by design.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's one like that for me on Predix.
It is like, it's just like clown world. I should have never called P clown world. Is that going to go down as like the worst call?
Was that like 5 years ago?
That was 2021, July, literally 5 years ago this month.
It's up there. It's definitely the worst call of all time on Rabbit Hole Recap.
Like if I could zoom back to myself 5 years ago, go back in time and be like, hey, in 5 years to, and I think it might be like 5 years exactly. If I recall, it was like the middle of July when I said it in 2021. Like in 5 years, you're going to be talking about Trump's second term and he's selling API access to tweets and his teleprompter
that he dumped a meme coin on retail and made more money than Coinbase.
And nobody cares. Terrible call. We talked about the 29 countries signing an agreement to establish a world AI cooperation organization. So you don't have to belabor that. Next up on the list, we have the Federal Reserve announcing leadership of five task forces to advance monetary policy. So this was from last Thursday. And I think the important
thing is right after the highlight here is
Mark Andreessen's on the list. Who else? Anybody?
Mervyn intentionally dropped it after RHR. Well, I put it here because AI is too big to fail.
So
that's why A16Z is on there.
Yeah, Mark Andreessen's on the productivity and jobs, assess the economic impact of new general purpose technologies, including artificial intelligence, to inform the Federal Reserve's policy judgments. It's funny too, the Asha Sharma, the executive vice president of Xbox and Xbox CEO at Microsoft. So like they announced this the day she laid off.
Is she on here?
Yeah, she's on that same task force, Asha Sharma. Yeah. She literally laid off like half the Xbox team, and now she's on the productivity and jobs task force. It was a bit poetic that day. AI 2040 Plan A: delay superintelligence until 2040 with full research transparency. This is slop.
These are the guys that did the AI 2027.
Yeah, they're completely wrong.
They're like, we're going to be World War III or whatever by 2027.
Completely wrong.
And meanwhile, like the reality is like we're making Bitcoin price charts into wars now.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is going to be like climate change, like this hysteria over AI destroying the world. Like,
yeah, I just thought it was notable that they made another one, not necessarily the content of the piece.
And just like push out. It's like Greta. like when she was like 16, she's like, by the time I'm 30, Miami's going to be underwater. And like, we're like 25. And like, we hit that. It's like, okay, any retrospective analysis on why you were wrong? It's like, no, it's going to be the same thing with this stuff. We're going to get to 2040. And they're like, actually, it's AI 2080. The fear mongering is going to be pretty nauseating. DoorDash, making it easier for you to use your agent to buy slop to send to your house.
Well, just by the way, just quick fact check on the Xbox thing. July 6, 2026, they laid off 1,600 Xbox employees, which is about 10% of the workforce. They plan to lay off another 1,600 to cut 20%. Yeah. This DoorDash thing, I just thought was interesting because we've talked about in the past, directionally, we actually talked about this exact situation, but it's a situation where the clanker is ordering a human to do things for him. The clanker is subservient to his human, but then there's another human subservient to both of them that goes and gets the food or whatever.
Multiple humans. You got to pay the people at the restaurant and then the courier.
Yeah, they get the order first, right? And then the courier goes. And I mean, that's probably going to get automated at some point in the future. This is the, like, how long does the DoorDash person exist? That's in the car driving and picking up. In cities, it probably, the clock is ticking.
It takes cities? I feel like in suburbia, it'd be quicker.
Well, cities is like, I don't know, like you can automate like robots and pickup points and stuff much easier because of just people density.
I feel like if you had like robo taxi.
Yeah, suburbia I would put in there too, but like rural, if you're like out of, if you're not dense population, it's probably still going to be, that'll probably be the last to go.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked. Crazy world we're living in.
But like, just think about like the rolling, they have like the coolers on wheels. You know what I'm talking about? Like the locking coolers on wheels, like not a full on robo taxi. Like those can't go. They don't have enough battery to go, 5 miles or 6 miles, but they can go, a couple blocks.
Yeah. Those things are,
and then wait outside your apartment building.
In Austin, they just used to get completely
just jacked, right?
People. Yeah.
Yeah.
Last on the list, .me registry temporarily suspends telegram.org domain.
This is wild. Did you see this?
Restores it. I did not see this.
So Telegram has a t.me domain service. Dope domain, right? 3-letter domain, t.me. And they use it for usernames and channels and everything that they host for users. So you get your own, t.me/whatever. Now, there was a VPN provider that got added to the U.S. sanctions list that had a Telegram channel. So that wasn't their main business. They just also happened to have a Telegram channel that was t.me. And so the domain registrar who's in charge of .me got pressured and they just knocked off all of t.me's. Anyone who was using Telegram.
Did they target the subdomain?
No. And then they told Telegram, if you don't remove the VPN account, then we're not going to restore it. So then Telegram complied and then they restored it.
What's the beef with the VPN? What VPN is it?
I don't know, it's probably something Russian related.
Honeypot? That is pretty wild.
It's called First VPN Service. I don't know. It's on the sanctions list, right? So it's like Russia or Iranian related. My guess is Russia.
Centralized third parties are security holes. Just a reminder. You may think everything is secure. Your website, your Telegram chat. I mean
what Telegram's about
got a billion users? Like, it's crazy that like
they have 2 billion users. They have 1.8 billion users. What about obviously like there's a question of sovereignty and stuff, but like what about how valuable the t.me domain probably is? Like it's a 3-letter domain. It's a great domain.
What do you think it would go for?
But you have no ownership over it really. You're just like renting it, right? From the people that own the .me suffix.
Yeah.
I don't know, like t.me is like $500,000, $1 million or something probably.
More than that, dude.
I don't know, because it is .me, right? Like if it's t.com.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
And then the question is, what is the value of, after this happens, what is the value of
any domain, right?
Yeah, but it's particularly these smaller registrars, right? Like the .me's. We've seen in the past .xyz is very banhammer happy.
That problem with the Fediments, right?
It's very much, it's same but different dynamic of like Bitcoin and shitcoins, right? Where I think you have a little more guarantees and sovereignty over like the big suffixes like .coms and .nets and stuff versus the smaller like startup ones.
Yeah.
What is .me anyway? Is that a regional one?
Maine? Is it Maine?
No. What's the one? .io is like Indian Ocean.
Domain County. Montenegro.
Montenegro.
There you go.
Montenegro.
So like if a small country controls your suffix, obviously there's a lot of strings you can pull to pressure that country to doing things.
Yeah. I almost pulled the trigger on a trip to Montenegro once. Like, I still want to go. It seems.
What happened?
I think my wife got pregnant.
Nice. That's a good reason.
Yeah. It's like a beautiful, small country.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to Croatia. Croatia's gorgeous. That whole region. Dubrovnik.
Latvia. Baltic Honey Badger taking a hiatus this year.
They always say that, but this time they're actually doing it.
I mean, they would have to put it together.
It's like in a month, right? Yeah. So it's not happening.
Yeah. Shout out to all the Latvian, Serbian, the Baltic freaks out there.
Too bad. I love that event. I mean, I say that, but I didn't go last year, so I get it. Running events sucks.
Yeah. All right. I think I'm going to try and take a nap. I think I deserve a nap today.
You do. Well deserved.
Going to see Shane Gillis tonight. So, should be fun.
Awesome. Well, love you all. Stay on the stack sats.
Peace and love, freaks.
Okay.